From the world of AV programming and control with James King, I'm Steve Greenblatt, and this is Ask the Programmer. James, how are you today? I'm glad that we're back for an episode where you and I are just going to chat for a bit.
It's great when we have guests, Steve, but also I enjoy when we get to just dive into a topic and talk about between us two.
Absolutely. If you haven't listened to a couple of our past episodes, we've been fortunate to have some really great guests lately. So please check those out. We've had probably four guests in the last few months. So check out those episodes. And if you want to be a guest, we always have the door open. So please reach out to us and let us know. But for today, both you and I have had dialogue about the fact that we're in management roles and we have people that work with us, for us, and that we're responsible for. And part of being responsible for people is that you have to help them to succeed. And a lot of times you have to train them. Sometimes you have to train them from the ground up. Sometimes you have to train them to do things the way you do them. And sometimes it's somewhere meeting in the middle where you have to get used to working with somebody and see how to best leverage their skills to your environment and your needs. So James, I know that training is a powerful thing, but it doesn't come without some challenges. So share a little bit maybe about things that you've learned while you've trained some people, a couple of things maybe that you didn't know going in or that were surprising.
So that's definitely a good question. I would say hardest thing with training is really coming to the realization. Like, we all know this, but actually knowing it is not everyone's going to tackle a problem the way you do. Not everyone's going to gravitate to the way you do things. I come in, I use a hashtag always be learning. I'm taking webinars, I'm jumping on podcasts, I'm hitting training things. And then you sit there and be like, well, why isn't everyone else doing this? And it doesn't mean what they're doing is wrong, but that's not how they go about doing it. And so I kind of chop it up, like, especially in management, it's like you can drag a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. Same with training. You can send out all the training you want to your team, but they don't want to take that training. They're going to reluctantly take it because, you know, the boss is telling them to do it, but doesn't mean they're actually processing the information, not and understanding and can apply it to what they're trying to do. So I would say that's probably the hardest thing I'm having as a manager is getting the team excited for the training. Like, I love training. Like, I'll jump at any opportunity to take training, but I'm now at the point where I should not be taking training. My team should be taking it. And I'm sitting there like throwing things at them. And I'm thinking like, okay, is it sensory overload for them? Are they getting the material? Are they understanding the material? Or do they just, you know, not want to go for that? Maybe they don't like webinars. Maybe they don't like to do it virtual. Maybe they want the hands-on. So that's really something I've been kind of pumping the brakes on and diving more into.
Yeah, I think you touched on a lot of good things there because, you know, one of them is management versus training. So some of it is trying to set those guardrails and get people to understand what their role entails and what's expected of them. And part of that is training. And then the other is the knowledge that they have to gain. And specifically, because we're talking about Ask the Programmer technical knowledge. But then, like you said, do you know what to do with that knowledge once you've gained it? And I get all the time from my team, it's great that you're giving us the opportunity to learn something, but if we're not applying it, we're likely not going to retain it for very long. And then you have to relearn it again. So I think that's to your point, sitting through and getting all the information sometimes can backfire because you're using time and then it's not going to necessarily sink in or be absorbed, and you're really not raising the baseline of knowledge, because they're going to have to relearn it if they haven't used it.
Oh, definitely. It's the whole notion of, like you said, if you're not using it, you're going to lose it, because our brains are very complicated. We all know that. But we can only have so much in our working memory at one given time. So if we're not using a skill or anything like that, our brains is pushing it to the side, or maybe even forgetting about it, to make room for things that they do need and do use daily. So yeah, you got to definitely be using it. So the training should coincide with stuff that your team's doing daily.
Have you found that you've been able to learn through the eyes of your team? So sometimes training is also beneficial to some the others, like the, I guess, a manager or supervisor, because they don't realize what their team doesn't know, perhaps, or maybe they don't realize the perception that their team has, or maybe they assume that they know something that they don't necessarily know, or we tend to get blind spots because we have been doing this for a long time and it's second nature. And a lot of times it's hard to know how to pass that information down without feeling like you're bringing it down to too fundamental of a level, and maybe it isn't received well because you don't want to seem like you have to take it down and baby somebody, if you will.
Yeah, I would say there's a couple to unpack there. That's one thing I'm starting to notice now. Like, there's been a couple training sessions that I've had my team go through, that I was able to kind of be that fly in the wall. Like, I was in the room, I knew what was going on, but it was training that probably wouldn't have benefited me because my skill level is higher than that training, because of my experience and things I was doing. So I could actually not just take in the information that the instructor was giving, but also see how my team was digesting that information. Some of them was they need to do the steps a couple times before they actually understood it, where others, like, they need the verbal or they need to be shown. Like, that helps me as a manager go, okay, when I'm talking to a team member and about training, this is how they need that information, so they can unpack it. Because, like you said, see, you and I, we've been around this long enough, probably our listeners been around long enough, that sometimes we skip over the steps because we were like, oh, you should know this. But we got to get that bias out of our minds, that training bias, that oh, you already know this, let's skip over it. Well, maybe they don't. Or maybe they just need that refresher because it's not something they do daily, so it's not in their working memory.
Yeah, I like that. And I would also add to being able to mix the training from an outside source and also having internal training, because like you said, when you're in it with them, you get to know them better. They get to know you better. You have, I think you learn a lot by being able to experience something with your team, even if it's something you already know.
The valuable, just that connection. It's like, you know, we're going through the floodwaters together. Yeah, maybe I'm more prepared to go for the floodwaters because of my years of experience and all that stuff, but it's still that we're still all going through it. And you kind of build that bond, like you said, with the training. Even if it may not be fully beneficial to you, but you're watching your teammates or your team grab that information, and then it helps you offset what they need to know.
I'll shift gears just a little bit because I know that this is something that you'll like, is that we also want to make sure that we don't get stuck in there's only one way of doing things and in old ways of thinking. And I really do believe in the episode that I got to record with Brittany DeCesare. We talked a little bit about mentorship and we talked about the fact that when she learns from me, I also learn from her. And that there's a lot of there's a lot of value in that. And have you experienced that where you're getting to learn from your team, even though you probably have a lot more you have a lot more knowledge and experience, but they bring things to the table that are either fresh ways of thinking or approaching a problem differently. Or even having different experiences being at a different age.
Oh, all above. Yes, I have definitely gotten information from my team members from, just their years of experience, the different experience they had, their youth, their age, all that stuff. They look at something different. They'll question it. Like we tend to get blinders on when we do things, because we know how to do them. We do them our way. We get it done right. Let me rephrase that. We get it done the way we do it and move forward. But the way we do things doesn't always mean it's the best way or the only way of doing things. It worked for us, may not work for everyone. And having an outside person who might come in and go, "Oh, why are you doing it that way?" or about doing this way allows you to break the monopoly, the mundane thing. I actually heard this on a leadership podcast, and it was very interesting enough to think about it, is we all, because our brains, I know I'm hampering on the brain stuff, but this kind of goes with training too, is, I'll tie it together in a moment, is we get into our routines. So the best way to break your routines is to move. And the way the guest on the podcast was talking about it was, without even thinking about it, every night when you're at home and you're brushing your teeth, you brush your teeth exactly the same way, same order. But when you travel, you change it up. Even though always a different environment. So I tried to do that as well when I'm doing my training. This is where I'm talking the tie-in, is I'll pick different rooms or try to different ways of doing. Maybe it's a lunch and learn, or maybe it's a webinar, or maybe it's hands-on. I try to mix it up. So one, you're hitting everyone's modality to learn, but also, you're not in the same what? Oh, we're in the same room. We're going for the same motion. You break it up a little more.
Yeah, I also think that there's value in learning from people who have just learned it right in front of you, if you have that opportunity. So if you teach somebody, have them teach the next person, because that'll help them to reinforce. And the next person will get to learn it similarly to the way that person learned it. And there may be a little bit more effectiveness there. But we try to institute that here as much as possible in my company, where part of advancing is being able to help the next person behind you move into your role, or be able to help groom somebody for the position that's behind you. So it's a similar thing of you're learning from different people who have different styles. But I think what you said is really important, is that don't get locked into one routine, because you tend to either get too comfortable, or you might not realize the blind spots that you're missing, or the value in doing something another way that may be more effective, but you just haven't tried it.
Yep. And as Mike Tyson always said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's right. That's right. As we wrap this one up, I think the audience would benefit from any tips that you could provide for somebody who is trying to learn or who is trying to help somebody else learn. Anything come to mind?
So if you're in a situation where you're trying to train your team or pass knowledge, is it's hard, but get out of your bias. Stop having people is assuming they know things that they may not know. Let them ask questions and let them fail. As long as it's not going to impact operation, like a client or in my case, classrooms and so, let them fail because then they can learn from that failure. It's how you recover from the failure. And again, you might find a new way of doing things. It may not be the way you're doing it. So let them experiment, let them push the envelope and build their toolbox. Now, flip side, if you're someone who is trying to learn and want to play, get out there and make mistakes. You are going to fail. That's how you're going to learn. That's how you build. It's how you recover from your failures. I tell my team this. I've always done this, is if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. Again, you need to push the envelopes. You need to learn and get in there and try things and make sure, okay, you make a mistake, you'll learn to fix it. That's how I got into computers. I was actually very afraid to touch a computer, like the insides and all that stuff. And I had a friend, I was in high school. Friend told me, you get in there and mess around. If you mess something up, you'll learn not to do that and you'll learn how to fix it.
Those are really, really good points that I think could be applied to anything that you're learning. Thank you for sharing that. Those are really good. The only thing that I would add is that if you're learning something, like we said before, maybe get an exercise to try and apply it and see how you do with that. I've also thought about different ways of being able to either gamify or make it seem like you're having levels of achievement. I always like the idea of like martial arts where they have different belts and different levels that you can gain, and that also gives you something to work toward so that you realize you're learning is you're able to see the progress. And I think that that's really important too. But I think what you said is really important. So that I would stick with your tips there.
And I like your tips. I mean, I've got the wheels moving now, even hearing what you're saying of how I can apply that. So definitely good tips all around.
Excellent. So please, if you're out there listening, let us know what you think. What's worked for you for training? What do you recommend? What did you get from this episode? We'd love to hear what you think and the feedback that you have, and reach out to us and let us know. James, how can people get in touch with you, learn what you're up to, and keep the conversation going?
I'm on X as AB_James King. I'm on LinkedIn, not too active, but once in a while I'm on there. Writer for that Higher Ed Digital Magazine, the IT and AV column. Have my board member. Again, Google me, you'll find me.
Excellent. And for me, you can reach me at Steve Greenblatt on social media. I am doing more on LinkedIn, so check that out as well. I'm also on X/Twitter, especially on Sunday mornings where James and I tend to chat on AV in the AM. So you can join and be involved in that conversation there as well. But for us, please check us out on YouTube, on your favorite podcast player, send us a review. Give us a rating and let us know what you think and let us know that you're out there because that's the only way that we know you're listening. And if you're interested in being a guest, please reach out to us with that as well. And until next time, this has been Ask the Programmer.